Hey everyone, welcome back. Are you ready for a deep dive? This time, we're going to be looking at a story that's absolutely packed with drama and intrigue.
Oh, yeah.
I think this one will spark some pretty big questions about power and ownership and second chances, too. We're talking about Naboth's Vineyard.
Ah, yes.
You know that story from 1 Kings 21 and 22 in the Old Testament?
Right.
And to help us understand all the layers, we're going to be using Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings. What I find so fascinating about this story is that it's not just some ancient tale. It grapples with ideas that are still so relevant today.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first things that really stood out to me was just how differently the ancient Israelites viewed land ownership compared to how we see it now.
Right. That whole idea of the land ultimately belonging to Yahweh.
Yeah.
It's like a completely different world almost, isn't it?
For sure. It really challenges our modern assumptions about private property. And it makes you think, like, maybe that belief fostered a different kind of responsibility, almost like a sense of stewardship towards the land.
That's a really interesting point, because if you think about it, if the land ultimately belonged to Yahweh, it would sort of put a limit on individual ambition in a way, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
You're not just accumulating land for yourself. It's more like you're managing something that's sacred.
Exactly. And I think that perspective really sets the stage for that whole conflict between Ahab and Naboth.
Right.
Because when Ahab wants to buy Naboth's vineyard, it's not just a straightforward real estate transaction. It's a clash of worldviews.
It really is. Naboth refuses to sell, not because he's being stubborn, but because the land is tied to his family's heritage, their connection to Yahweh. I mean, to sell it would be like betraying that whole legacy, right?
Absolutely. And Ahab, he just doesn't quite get that.
Yeah.
You know, he's caught between the values of his upbringing and his desire for this vineyard. He's stuck in this in-between space.
He does come across as kind of a sulky teenager, doesn't he?
Chuckles.
Like, I want it and I want it now.
Roxel.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a little immaturity there, but, you know, it's more than just a tantrum, right? He's described as being double-minded, almost like he's torn between two different worlds.
Right.
Like, he's drawn to the faith of his ancestors, but he's also very tempted by his own desires.
I think we can all relate to that feeling of being pulled in different directions, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever felt that kind of inner struggle? Like, that tension between what you want and what you know is right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like you're stuck in this tug of war with yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what makes Ahab such a tragic figure. He can't fully commit to either path. And that indecision, that inner conflict, it's ultimately what leads to his downfall. It's almost like he's trying to walk down two paths at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they say about that? You end up going nowhere.
But then, of course, we have Jezebel, and she is a completely different story.
Oh, yeah.
She's not conflicted at all.
No.
She knows exactly what she wants, and she's going to get it no matter what. Yeah, she's a force of nature. I mean, she embodies ruthless ambition.
Wow.
Power is the ultimate goal, and she's willing to manipulate, scheme, even resort to violence to achieve it.
I mean, her plan to get rid of Naboth is absolutely chilling.
It really is.
Setting him up with those false accusations.
Yeah.
Using the law to her advantage.
Yeah.
It's like something out of a Shakespearean tragedy.
It's a masterclass in manipulation, like how power can corrupt even the most sophisticated systems, right?
Okay.
It really makes you realize that the pursuit of power, if it's not grounded in some sense of morality or a higher purpose, can become incredibly dangerous.
It's like she's operating from a completely different playbook than Naboth, who sees the land as sacred, as a gift from Yahweh.
Mm.
For Jezebel, it's just another asset to acquire, another way to consolidate her power.
Exactly. And I think that contrast highlights a really key tension that runs throughout the whole story. You know, the tension between seeing the world as something to be controlled and dominated versus seeing it as something to be respected and cared for.
So we had these two contrasting figures, Ahab wrestling with his conscience, and Jezebel, the embodiment of ambition and manipulation. And then enters Elijah, the prophet, ready to deliver some serious truth bombs.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a dramatic entrance.
The tension definitely goes up a notch when Elijah arrives on the scene.
He doesn't hold back at all.
Yeah.
He goes straight to Ahab and accuses him of selling himself to do evil.
Right.
I mean, that phrase always gets me, selling yourself. It's like, Ahab has made this deal with a devil, so to speak, trading his integrity for this vineyard.
Exactly. It really raises the question, what are we willing to sacrifice for what we desire? And are there certain things, certain values that should never be compromised, no matter how tempting the reward might be?
And the imagery that Elijah uses to describe Ahab's fate is pretty intense, too.
Mm.
He predicts that dogs will devour those who die in the city, including Jezebel. And dogs in the Bible, they're often seen as scavengers, symbols of destruction and judgment.
Right.
Not a pretty picture.
No, it's a very vivid and unsettling image for sure. And I think it's meant to convey the gravity of Ahab's actions and the consequences that are to come. It makes you wonder, was Ahab truly aware of the path he was on, like the darkness he was embracing?
I think that's one of the most interesting questions this story brings up, the question of awareness.
Yeah.
Are we always conscious of the choices we're making
Right.
and the potential consequences that might follow? Or do we sometimes find ourselves just swept up in our desires, blinded to the bigger picture?
It's a question that really challenges us to examine our own motivations and the values that are guiding our actions, right?
Exactly.
Are we driven by a thirst for power like Jezebel, or are we striving to live in alignment with a higher purpose like Naboth?
Those are some pretty deep questions, and I think the story leaves it up to us to wrestle with them.
I think so too. And that's part of what makes the story so compelling. It doesn't give us easy answers, but it invites us to engage in this much deeper reflection on our own lives and the choices that we face.
Yeah. It's like a mirror being held up to our own hearts, asking us to confront our own desires, our own temptations, and ultimately our own capacity for both good and evil.
Absolutely. And just when you think you have the whole story figured out, there's a twist.
Right.
Ahab, the man who coveted another man's land and allowed his wife to orchestrate a murder, shows remorse.
I know. It's a moment that really caught me off guard. He actually humbles himself before God. It's almost like this little glimmer of hope amidst all the drama and the intrigue.
And that brings us to another really fascinating layer of the story, the possibility of repentance, even for someone like Ahab, who's done some pretty terrible
It
things.
really makes you wonder, like, does any act of repentance, no matter how small or how late in the game, have the power to actually shift things?
Yeah, that is the big question, isn't it? And honestly, it's one that theologians and scholars have been going back and forth on for centuries. You know, what's interesting is that Dr. Oswald doesn't even try to give us a simple answer. He points out this really interesting tension between God's justice, the idea that actions have consequences, and God's mercy.
Right. It's like on the one hand, you have this sense that you can't just get away with doing wrong, but then on the other hand, there's this little glimmer of hope that maybe, just maybe, change is possible, even redemption.
Exactly. And I think that's where Ahab's story gets really thought-provoking because God doesn't just sweep his actions under the rug, but he does acknowledge that Ahab has had this genuine change of heart, even if it might not be a full 180-degree transformation.
It's almost like God's saying, okay, I see you trying, and I'm going to honor that effort. But it also makes me wonder, where's the line? Is there a point where it's just too late to turn things around? Are some actions so bad that they can't be undone even with true repentance?
Yeah, those are really tough questions, and I don't think the story of Naboth's vineyard gives us a clear-cut answer, but it does give us this glimpse into how huge God's grace is and how complex human nature can be.
I'm also kind of struck by the fact that even though God postpones the punishment on Ahab, it doesn't just disappear. It eventually catches up with his family, his descendants. It's a reminder that our choices, even the ones that we regret and we try to make amends for, they can have ripple effects that extend way beyond ourselves.
That's so true. And it brings us back to that idea of ownership and responsibility that we were talking about earlier. We may not literally own the land in the same way that the ancient Israelites believed they belonged to Yahweh, but we are responsible for our actions and how they impact others both now and in the future.
It's like this story is urging us to think beyond just ourselves, to consider the wider consequences of the choices that we make and how they might affect people around us, even generations to come.
Absolutely. And I think it also reminds us that power, whether it's the power of a king or the power that we have in our everyday lives, it always comes with responsibility. It's not just about what we can get, it's about how we use our influence to shape the world around us.
So if we try to connect this back to the bigger picture,
Yeah.
what can we really take away from Naboth's vineyard? It's this old story, but it feels incredibly relevant to what's going on in the world today, don't you think?
Absolutely. One of the biggest takeaways for me is that cautionary tale about how corrupting power can be. You see it in Ahab's desire for the vineyard and in Jezebel's ruthlessness, and even in how Naboth's rights are just totally ignored. It's this reminder that wanting power so much, if it's not balanced with ethics and a sense of higher purpose, can lead to some pretty bad places.
And we see that happening all the time, don't we? In politics, in the business, even in our personal relationships. The temptation to abandon our values, to cheat or exploit others to get what we want, it's always lurking.
It's a human struggle that goes beyond time and culture, but the story also offers us hope. Ahab's repentance, even though it wasn't perfect, and God being willing to meet him there, It reminds us that change is possible, even when we've done some really bad things, even when we've messed things up pretty badly, there's still a chance for redemption.
That's a powerful message, especially in a world that can feel so cynical and divided. It's like this little spark of hope reminding us that it's never too late to turn things around, to make things right, to choose a better path.
It also challenges us to really look at how we view power. Are we using our influence in the right way? Are we aware of the temptations that come with power, the way it can quietly change our priorities and what we value? And are we willing to hold ourselves and others accountable for using power ethically and for the good of everyone?
These are questions that are worth thinking about, for sure. Because even though we don't have the power of a king, we all have some influence within our own circles.
Exactly. Whether it's with our families at work or in our communities, we all have the ability to make choices that either continue the cycle of greed and wanting more, or choices that help build a world that's fairer and more caring. It's about realizing that power isn't just about what we can gain for ourselves. It's about how we use it to make a real positive difference in the lives of other people.
This deep dive has really given me a lot to think about. And, you know, it strikes me as how this story subtly changes our perspective on what it actually means to be powerful.
I know what you mean. We often connect power with things on the outside, like wealth, status, control over others.
But looking at Naboth's vineyard, it seems like real power comes from something much deeper.
Yeah, it's about dedicating yourself to a purpose that goes beyond just what you want. It's about recognizing something bigger than yourself and being willing to admit when you're wrong. It's about having the courage to say, I messed up, and then actually choose to do better, even when it's hard or people don't agree with you.
So the real question isn't, how much power do I have? But what am I doing with the power that I have?
Exactly. And that's something each of us has to figure out no matter what our position or status is, because we all have power in some way, whether we realize it or not. And every choice we make is shaping the world around us.
This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to consider. It's a powerful reminder that even when we see greed and ambition and injustice, the possibility of changing our hearts and making things right is always there.
And even what seem like small acts of doing the right thing and standing up for what's right can have a ripple effect shaping the world around us in ways that we might not even fully understand.
So as you go through your day, I want to challenge you to think about this. Where do you see these power dynamics playing out in your own life? And are you using your influence, your voice, your choices to help create a world that reflects those values of justice, mercy, and compassion that we see in this story of Naboth's vineyard?
It's a journey of looking inward and then taking action. And remember, even with all the ups and downs of life, there's always hope. There's always a chance for redemption, for growth, for making the world a little bit better, a little kinder, and a little bit more just...
Thanks for being with us on this deep dive. It's been a fascinating journey, and we hope you found it as thought-provoking as we have. We'll see you next time when we explore more ideas that matter. It really makes you think, doesn't it? Like this ancient story is holding up a mirror to our own lives. It's challenging us to look at our own hearts and the ways we might be tempted to use power the wrong way, even in small ways.
Yeah, it's easy to get so caught up in the day-to-day and lose sight of the bigger picture, like the impact that our choices have on other people. But this story reminds us that even what seem like small actions can have consequences that go way beyond what we can imagine.
It's like that butterfly effect thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like one small flap of a butterfly's wings can create a chain reaction that ends up causing a hurricane on the other side of the world. Maybe our choices are like those butterfly wings. We might not always see the immediate impact, but they can ripple out and affect things far beyond our own little world.
That's a really beautiful way to put it. And it speaks to how connected everything is, you know, how our actions are all woven together in this fabric of life, and they affect the world around us, whether we realize it or not.
It is a lot of responsibility to think about, but it's also incredibly empowering in a way. It means that even the smallest acts of kindness or courage or integrity can actually make a difference.
Absolutely. It's like that quote from Margaret Mead, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has."
It's so easy to feel overwhelmed by all the problems in the world, to think that what we do individually doesn't really matter. But this story reminds us that every choice we make, every time we stand up for something, every act of compassion we offer, it all contributes to the kind of world that we want to live in.
Right. It's a call to action. It's like an invitation to step into our power, not to control people or things, but to be a force for good, for healing, for justice, to create a world that shows those values of compassion, generosity, and respect that we see in the story of Naboth's vineyard.
I think that's a beautiful thought to end on. So as you go about your week, Remember this story of Naboth's vineyard. Let it remind you to examine your own relationship with power, to think about the impact of your choices, and to remember that there's always a chance for changing for the better, both in your own life and in the world around you.
And remember, even with all the complicated and challenging parts of life, there's always hope. There's always a potential to make things right, to grow, to create a world that's a little bit brighter, a little bit kinder, a little bit more just.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been a truly fascinating journey, and we hope you found it as thought-provoking as we have. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into these ideas that really matter.